You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
Today, health insurance reform is the law of the land.
The health care law was supposed to keep medical costs down, but a new report says your payments are expected to jump.
I think I made a mistake.
Robert Scott Bell.
A coalition of public health advocates targeting Ronald McDonald.
I'd love to see Ron McDonald retired. Let's kill him off like we did Joe Camel.
Oh, look at that!
Robert Scott Bell.
Side effects may include depressed mood,
thoughts of suicide,
insomnia,
suicide may occur,
diarrhea,
unusual or strange dreams,
agitation,
sexual side effects,
drowsiness, dizziness,
and nausea,
hostility,
trouble sleeping,
seizures,
various skin reactions,
thoughts of suicide,
because suicide may occur.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Back from the Health Freedom Expo, and we are cranking it up here this Monday, an Advanced Medicine Monday. Dr. Bittar will be joining me a little later, but I have a couple of guests that I ran into at the Health Freedom Expo that are going to be joining me this hour. Really excited to bring you Anita Vasquez-Tabau from the Consumers for Dental Choice, ToxicTeeth.org, and Jeffrey Smith. That's right. No GMO? Yeah, just say no to GMO. Jeffrey Smith will be joining me as well. You know what's interesting about the Health Freedom Expo, and I want to thank all my listeners that were in the Chicagoland area that came down to see me and all the great speakers that were there standing up for health, freedom, and liberty. One of the things I noticed this year, from a year ago even, and I've been attending many years in a row, the openness to the message. I mean, people were really sponge-like and hungry for this in ways that were even more so than ever before. And I think it's due to a lot of the things that are happening out there that are not so nice for people. That is the suffering due to the economic downturn and the concern for what's happening for the future. And I think, you know, when I look at my life, my 24 years of chronic illness before learning about healing, I had to say what softened me up and opened me up to the healing that I would eventually learn was the hardship, was the suffering, was the ailments, were the ailments and the diseases. And if we talk about all the luxuries and the ease with which we had life here on planet Earth here in the West in the United States, you really didn't have to pay much attention to a lot of things. You thought, hey, I can get bailed out here, I can get bailed out there. And I think the reality is people are coming to the conclusion that those gravy days are over. There's going to be a different way of going about things. And I kind of tend to take a positive tack to it, and I think people were absorbing this reality and looking at it like, how can we turn this into a positive? How can we restore community to our communities? How do we learn to grow food again? How do we learn to take care of ourselves? You know, grandma, great-grandma, they used to be able to stitch you up when you fell down. You couldn't go to the doc in the box on the corner. There wasn't one. You know, you had the family doctor that would visit every once in a while. Then I had someone asking a question in my last lecture at the Health Freedom Expo, and it was a really interesting one. She was very concerned because she had elevated cholesterol, and because she wasn't so concerned about the cholesterol, it was the concern that she couldn't get insurance because of this high cholesterol issue. And it wasn't dangerously high. In fact, I told her, I said, congratulations, you got high cholesterol. You're going to live longer and you won't get Alzheimer's. It's good news. But she was just concerned about the health insurance issue. And then I said this. I said, ma'am, it's actually quite fortunate that they won't give you health insurance, because the most dangerous thing you can have in America today is good health insurance. Now, I expected gasps from the audience and outrage, and they were going to throw tomatoes at me, and they'd be probably GMO tomatoes with the way I said it. But, in fact, I got applause. They understood. It was really an astounding thing. That told me things are changing. People are seeing through the lies, if you will, not only from big pharma, but big government, big media, because they, you know, they really see that insurance, the way it is today, is not at all about taking care of your health. It's disease management and intervention, and it is quite dangerous. You know, if you need a broken bone set, granted, modern allopathic medicine has done a bang-up job. They know what to do. But outside of that, they're quite a dangerous profession. And it was very refreshing here in the heart of the Midwest, where I was at the Health Freedom Expo, that we had that kind of acknowledgement, and you could see through that. And it wasn't such a controversial thing to say. So, again, things are changing. The consciousness is shifting, and it's happening because of the hardship we're facing. because people are losing their access to these so-called insurance programs that are really just drug-buying schemes and allopathic medicine intervention schemes to support and prop up the monopoly that if you had to pay for this stuff out of your own pocket, you would never do it. Even if you thought you needed it, you'd think, this is ridiculous. I'll go down to the homeopath and for a fraction of a penny on their dollars, I'll actually get well, or the herbalist, etc. So this is what I see happening here, and that's why I say, despite the things that they look kind of bleak right now, the reality is I'm already seeing the rays of sunshine happening because of the suffering that is occurring. So we should actually embrace it. You know, like much like I had to learn to embrace my suffering, even though while I was in the midst of it, I was kind of cursing it, quite honestly. I was like, why should I have to suffer this way, God? You know, take it away. Strike a bolt of lightning. I can't handle this disease, these ailments anymore. But the reality was it was all there for my benefit, to teach me, to get me to a point where I can help others to heal and maybe teach others to do even greater things than I was able to do for my health or others that came after me. And so that's what we really have to look at it this way. Even the threat of GMOs, which is horrific, which is why I'm going to have Jeffrey Smith on in a little while. The fact is it's waking people up to the fact that food matters, that what we put into our body and what we do to our planet, it all does matter. But before we suffer, before we see these horrific abominations, we can kind of, you know, tend to blow it off, ignore it, and pretend it's not there. But then it affects you, you know, and I've often said this about the attacks on dietary supplements. They've gone after the farmers that, you know, want to sell raw milk. And, you know, is it that you don't drink raw milk? You're not going to speak up. What about the elderberry juice? You didn't take that, so you weren't going to speak up. What about the birthing tubs? You didn't speak up when they started taking them, but now they're coming after you. What is it that you like to do? The government's going to come after you and take it away. But not here, not now, not ever, not on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And that's why you're here every day through naturalnewsradio.com and robertscottbell.com. We're going to be coming right back after this break with Anita Tabao Vasquez, or I should say Anita Vasquez Tabao. We're going to do ToxicTeeth.org, talk mercury and detoxification, and then be joined by my good friend and hero of mine, Jeffrey Smith, talking GMOs, right here on Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Look out, Big Pharma. There's a new sheriff in town.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, they say good health begins in the mouth. Of course, here I am letting loose every day on the radio and through the broadcasting here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And, of course, to confirm what we're talking about, good health starting in the mouth, we go to Consumers for Dental Choice. Of course, I've interviewed Charlie Brown, one of my health freedom heroes here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, many, many years. But also another friend of mine and his, Anita Vasquez Tabao. She joins me now as International Director of Consumers for Dental Choice. And you have some amazing personal experience with good health starting in the mouth, or bad health as well, with mercury.
Yes, I do, Robert, and I want to thank you first for allowing us to continue to have the opportunity to come onto your show and educate the people across the nation and the world. About 11 years ago, I discovered that my 13 amalgam fillings, which deceptively are called silver, are actually mercury. And mercury is the most toxic non-radioactive substance known to man, and it was making me very, very sick with life-threatening asthma. After years of research, I discovered that these fillings were the root cause of my health problems. And since then, I have been working on a ban globally to end this scourge against humanity. And along with Charlie Brown, my mentor and hero, we've come a long way in this movement in the past decade.
Yeah, you guys have done amazing work in raising awareness, and Charlie's taken on some big bad baddies all the way in Washington, D.C., and also internationally as well. But your personal experience is such that hey, people need to hear. They need to understand how having mercury amalgamated in metals, but mostly mercury, in your mouth is not benign and inert, that it actually does leach out in the body. And, of course, as a homeopath, I see pages and pages and pages of references to untoward effects of even minute doses or amounts of mercury. And that's why mercurius in homeopathic form is an excellent remedy to counteract some of this. But we still got to pull that stuff out of the teeth safely. So what kind of things did you have that you can attribute, and docs have attributed, to having the mercury present in your mouth and body?
Well, actually, it's been identified well over 250 symptoms of mercury toxicity based directly to the amalgam fillings. And anyone can simply go Google dental mercury and systemic illnesses, from cancer to lupus, diabetes, any heart, liver, kidney function problem. It basically is an immune suppressor. So what winds up happening in the human body is this mercury load that is consistent. And when you chew, you brush your teeth, you drink hot liquids, it is constantly off-gassing. And the problem with mercury in the dental fillings is it never goes away. So your exposure is for the life of the patient, not the life of the amalgam, because the amalgam will long outlast you.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And these things, if they're pulled out of your mouth, they have to be treated or disposed of according to hazardous waste guidelines from the EPA. It's not like we just dump it in the trash and go on. But, of course, it's safe in your mouth.
I know.
Magically transformed to hazardous waste once it leaves. So what are we doing with children, especially inner city poor, that, you know, they're claiming, well, it's not right to ban them because it's more expensive to do these safer materials that they won't say are safer, of course. It's unconscionable what the ADA, the American Dunderhead, I mean Dental Association, has been doing for a long time.
Well, this is why your show is so important, because your outreach to people that would never, ever get this from a dental office or a healthcare professional, it's imperative, because when people have the right information, they can make the right decision. And it's true. Systematically, middle to upper income folks are able to get composite fillings. And the dentist may not tell you, well, it's because physically it looks better. They simply may say cosmetically, you know, it's going to last longer. They've improved the materials and so on and so forth. But we call it drill, fill, and bill, because the lower income, as you said, and these are the people that I'm really fighting for, as well as Charlie and my other colleagues. Mm-hmm. We ourselves had the opportunity to take the mercury out of our teeth. Some of us safely, some of us not, but at least we were able to get it out.
Right.
People in the lower socioeconomic backgrounds, they will never have the opportunity to take this out, let alone safely.
Yeah.
So these little kids that I have seen as young as 2 years old with mercury in their teeth, it's criminal. It's beyond what any moral person would do. So, you know, our work is progressing, and it's gone through leaps and bounds. And this last 2 years, our organization created a international foundation called the World Alliance for Mercury Free Dentistry under the Consumer for Dental Choice umbrella. And now we're working at the United Nations level as stakeholders to get a global ban. So it may, a global ban will mean to the world that no one can get it.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that. I'm just not impressed with the United Nations as an organization. You want to talk about corruption, take what we do at the federal level and internationalize it. But it's not to say that the efforts aren't extremely important and worthwhile. The medical industrial complex, which is a global phenomenon, has basically institutionalized the injection and introduction and placement of heavy metals like mercury, whether it be through vaccines or dental amalgams. Now they use aluminum. All of these things that are already known to be neurotoxic and in many ways disrupting of the endocrine function as such. And in children, it's more devastating than adults. It's bad enough in adults. So I don't know how you can look some of these people in the eye with their criminality. I mean, whether it's born in ignorance or arrogance, how do you maintain composure in dealing with this instead of cold cocking them? Let's be honest here.
Well, Robert, I'm from the East Coast. I'm from Pittsburgh, and we know how to deck people when it's necessary.
I mean, I feel sometimes about how would you do this to children?
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that are monsters that do this.
Yeah.
But they have degrees and they have licenses.
Oh no, it is criminal, and a lot of people do not like the UN, and frankly, their policy making. It's not my gig, but what I can tell you is that as a small, I tell people we're Greenpeace Party of Five, and we are so small, and the opportunities that we have to meet delegates from around the world and educate them,
sure.
we're like bees in this place, and we have met. Country members
the
and delegates
of the
from
bees.
Countries.
That explains where the bees went.
we're all UN. At the UN telling everybody that mercury and dental fillings is really, really bad,
yeah.
And that's where the change happens because these people that they send to these sessions, they're the smartest people and policymakers in their country. So they're really outstanding in for our behalf to be able to speak to them under one roof, and we can afford to go once.
Sure, it's convenient, but, you know, it's a human-to-human contact. And this is what I've always said, as much as I loathe a lot of these organizations, there are people in there that are worker bees, so to speak, that may have impact of a positive nature that may not be fully corrupted. And if you plant the seed there and they go back to their home country and their home country says no more mercury amalgams, then, hey, you've done a bang-up job already. So, hey, you know, I'm not opposed to it. It's just I recognize that I'm so fed up with these do-gooder organizations that are not doing good.
I concur, but guess what, Robert? We're the only organization in the world that want to go out of business as a nonprofit. You know, we have no financial interest in keeping amalgam. We're like, let's get it done. You know, Charlie wants to go off and read books all day long. That's his passion. And frankly, I don't know. I want to clean up the problem.
Well, you raised a very important point here. Most of these organizations are such they come to being and they never, ever, ever want to leave being. So their reason for being is not to so-called cure or eradicate the problem, whatever it may be, but for perpetuating an existence that enriches themselves, even at the cost of perpetuating the very disease or ailment or toxin that they're wanting to eradicate. I've talked about the March of Dimes, for instance. I mean, the simple act of, replacing the glucose tolerance factor chromium molecules, and I'm not talking hexavalent chromium, I'm talking a food-grown state of a mineral, you could chromosomally protect the vast majority of these birth defects from ever occurring, but of course that would put them out of business, much like the American Diabetes Association would simultaneously be put out of business by simply replacing some of these minerals. So having an organization that's not invested in it and economically benefiting, I mean, you guys are doing it for a passion and really bubbling up to the surface for the right reason. It is rare as rare gets. You know, although you're talking about rare earth metals, this goes beyond that. So I appreciate what you and Charlie Brown are doing. By the way, the website is toxicteeth.org, toxicteeth.org. It's Consumers for Dental Choice. And I have the links up the blog today at robertscottbell.com. And if you're getting the email updates from naturalnewsradio.com with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, helping us blast us around the world, please put your email address in there as well, and we'll keep you plugged in and up to date. So what kind of things can people do to support you? I mean, obviously, you can... welcome donations, obviously. I mean, and what you're doing, yes.
Yeah, and it is true. We're very, due to the economic turndown, and everybody's been affected, but Every dollar in our organization counts, and we're the front lines. You know, if people say, well, who works with you? And like, we're it. But the thing is, when I gave up my career to do this, I came in 200% because it has to be done. And this opportunity only comes around once in a lifetime that you can really engage and change the world. And I've been blessed with a small team of such dedicated people that we will win this. The question is, will we win it now, or will we win it in the near future? But every day that goes by, people are affected, and it is imperative that we get everyone's support. We have a Facebook page currently. It's called Californians for Green Dentistry, that we have an online petition. We're doing work in California as another pilot project to get resolutions passed. So, because actually what happens in California generally moves across the country and then to the world. So we're not like
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. Oh, gosh. That's another story.
How was Arnold basically on the Mercury issue? Did he ever receive the information, much less act on it in any way?
No. Yeah. But your audience that's in California, mm-hmm. please write to Governor Brown, because Governor Brown...
He was an earth muffin at one time in his life.
Oh, yes, he was indeed. And he just appointed someone to a position that can really, really, really move this forward for everyone. Mm. And that's what people say. Well, you don't have mercury in your teeth anymore, Anita. Why do you do this? And I said, it's for everybody else that does have it in their mouth, because what affects one person does affect me.
Sure.
And when you look globally, you know, they say the poor and disenfranchised, well, really, who cares about them? They're in Africa. But they're right here
in our home here in America. Those that are listening around the world are here in America, too. Listen, I had 4 silver mercury fillings, and I had them removed when I learned of this. Charlie Brown was one of the people I talked to, Hal Huggins, many things that I read. And my wife had 4 as well. Before we even began to have children, we pulled this out because we knew how serious this was. And people are just not aware of this, and they still have all of these effects and not know what's causing it. I had them removed. This was back in the early 90s with the epoxy resins, biocompatible for me. And they're still in. Here we are, almost 20 years later? And, you know, they always say, oh, no, don't pull them out because the new stuff doesn't last. Bull snot. I mean, that's a long time ago I had this done, and they're still there.
And what I tell people is, if they're done properly by a biological or holistic dentist, they'll last you the rest of your life.
Yes.
Right on, Robert. Good for you.
Well, and that's what I did. And I found a nice lady who did that, and she understood these techniques as such. And thankfully, I didn't have a mouth of 20 or 13, you know, but 4 little ones. But still, it's very significant. As I tell people, if they have even one, it's like walking around with a mercury anchor tied to their ankle. And you may not be aware of it all the time because it may be a longer leash. Occasionally it hits you. But the reality is there's no place for mercury at this level in the body. And whether you're injecting it in the guise of a vaccine or having your little child chewing every day with this in your mouth, we've got to do something. Now, as I said, I work with detoxification. I want to increase people's awareness of selenium, different minerals to bind these things out, enhanced glutathione production. Some are working with the One World Whey product, which is enhances glutathione production so we can detox. We do far infrared heat saunas. I mean, many things that we can do to accelerate the detox even before, although, like I said, in conjunction with and afterwards, because we have a residual amount of mercury even after you remove these things. So it's to fully engage and do it all the way. I've also referenced Dr. Mark Briner's book, Whole Body Dentistry. He's very supportive of this. And funny enough, I had a buddy of mine from college who I swam with years ago, who's a dentist down the road from him. He says, I don't know about that Briner guy because, you know, he's just self-serving. It's like, well, if you don't really get what he's all about or what any of these people are all about in mercury, and you've bought the party line, you may not understand how critically important this is, because they still program dentists to believe it's not a big deal.
And this is the tragedy when you see these young dentists coming out of school. In order to be licensed in the United States, you have got to place a mercury filling in a human body, a live person. And that's it's criminal.
Yeah.
In 2011, there should be no dentist on the planet that is not aware that mercury is so toxic. It is the most toxic product known to man outside of radioactive material. It's just ignorance is not acceptable when you're dealing with human health. It just isn't. Yeah. Not for me.
No, no. Slap them around. Give them some laughing gas or whatever. But listen, I appreciate all of your work, Anita, and I've got the reference points and links at toxicteeth.org, and it's always a pleasure to have you on board to share this message. Any parting messages that are really critical to get out before we move on?
Yes, if everyone would go to Pandora's Mouth, YouTube, Pandora's Mouth, you can see the work of my dear friend and colleague and Princess Warrior, five-time cancer survivor, documentary filmmaker, Kelly Gallagher's work. She has posted several. Yeah, she's going to finish this documentary. She's been following this story for a decade.
Okay.
And it will be parallel to the Michael Moore Super Size Me style run and gun documentary film about a movement that has been around for 175 years. And my kudos to Kelly, because during this process, she had four pacemaker surgeries, a pig valve placed.
Oh my God.
Another round of cancer, and she's still fighting the fight.
She's got a very strong will, and she's doing good work, and we want to support her. So go see Kelly's documentary in progress, Pandora's Mouth, on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And Anita, you are also at toxicteeth.org. If people want to connect with you, there are links there. Say hi and big hugs to Charlie Brown for us. Thank you for your support of health, freedom, and liberty, and getting the metal out that doesn't belong in the mouths of babes.
Thank you, my dear. It's been a pleasure as usual.
All right.
Great to see you.
We'll be right back with Jeffrey Smith joining me, talking GMOs after this break.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind. And yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com. And you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
You're amazing. You are something else.
Robert Scott Bell.
He has both style and substance.
Robert Scott Bell. Bell. Bell.
How much power do talk radio hosts really have?
This is transformational, and it's awesome.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, continuing on Advanced Medicine Monday, I have Jeffrey Smith now joining me. And, of course, if you ever wanted to learn why and how to say no to GMOs besides Mike Adams' great rap song, who Jeffrey Smith is featured on, by the way. Jeffrey's the guy. Jeffrey, bless you. God, I love you. Thank you for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Happy to be. Happy to be.
So we've got a lot of work to do still. Seemingly all the government agencies that I've seen here in America are still loath to acknowledge that we need at least, very least, labeling. Of course, we'd like to see the elimination of it, but at the very least, labeling. Since you've started your the books, the research, the campaigns to move this on, have we made progress? What's the progress report today?
Well, today I talked to a crowd and asked them something I've been asking to crowds all year. And I said, how many of you are upset about the approval of genetically modified alfalfa? And most everyone's hands goes up. And I said, and what about sugar beets? And most hands go up. And then I say, how many of you were aware, even aware, when GMO alfalfa was originally approved? And one or two hands go up. And I said, what about sugar beets? Maybe one. I said, it was the same event. The same event a few years ago. No one knew a few years ago. Hardly anyone. Today, millions of people are pissed off.
Yeah.
And this is very significant because it is an indication, and it's immediately aware. I mean, it's one of the, I start out the talk that way because it's very good news that so many people are aware. It's not good news that it was approved.
Yes.
But we have a situation where now people are not only upset, but I would say there are millions of people avoiding GMOs. It's interesting. It started about January or so of 2010. People, as I was traveling, I've been doing crisscrossing the country for 8 years, speaking about the health dangers of GMOs, and people started coming up to me, giving me points that I say, but better than I speak it. They were just absolutely riveted to it. They were active. They were in their communities doing stuff. They were in health food stores. There were doctors prescribing non-GMO diets, parents of autistic kids that were strictly non-GMO, pockets of real powerful activists and community educators. And this was something we hadn't seen before. And this was predicted by Supermarket News, actually, that 2010 would see an upsurge of public concern and awareness about GMOs that might, you know, cause a reaction like trans fats. And what happened for the first 6 months of 2010, it was all buzz. We couldn't believe it. And then came GE Salmon. And then came the lawsuit with sugar beets and alfalfa, all right. High-profile coverage. And then the organic industry got on board to try and defend its turf with the alfalfa, so it sent out a lot of emails, and it became a much more of a mainstream issue since the beginning of 2010, and this is exactly what we've been working for.
Yeah, that's an important point to remember. When you started, I mean, how few, just like you said, the raise the hands even, and it's come a long way. Obviously, we still got more to do. Recently, Mike Adams covered through Natural News the story about Whole Foods. You know, they don't know. I don't know if they know how to even prevent GMOs from entering their stores, even if they want to. So we can raise the awareness, but we can't put the genie back in the bottle. We've got a lot of cleanup to do as well.
And that's one reason why the non-GMO project is important. That's a third-party verifying system to back up non-GMO claims. It requires testing. You can say non-GMO on products simply by telling your buyers no GMO but never testing it. And it used to be that our shopping guide at non-GMOshoppingguide.com only required companies to say non-GMO. But now we require enrollment in the non-GMO project, because that is the new standard. And that's, as you say, the genie's out of the bottle. But at least if we're starting to test and verify, even if, I mean, it does obviously acknowledge that some small level of contamination may be impossible to fully clean up, but we need to be testing. And organic standards don't allow GMOs, but they don't require testing. So the gold standard really would be an organic product that also has the non-GMO project verified seal on it, which would be a great combination.
Well, absolutely. Now, I've been covering at the Health Freedom Expo a lot of people wanting to know how to repair gut damage. And I don't think as many people are aware of the fact that in addition to all the things I've been talking about for years, vaccines, antibiotics, and pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, we have some pro-inflammatory interaction when we're talking about modifying basic genetics and interacting with the body as well. So it was bad enough already. And I don't mean to be a doom and gloom, but we have got to tackle all of these elements, but the GMO may be the most insidious because it's the most invisible without massive... How do you even test for GMOs, right? You know,
yeah.
It's not something you can just do at home with a little drop of water.
Let's pick up on that gut bacteria because there's some new information that the listeners may not be aware of. A study came out done in Canada in the Sherbrooke Hospital in Eastern Townships, Quebec, and they tested 30 pregnant women. And they found in 93% of them, in their blood, the BT toxin that's produced in genetically modified corn. And in the cord blood of the fetus, they found 80% of the babies had this BT toxin, and two-thirds of the non-pregnant women. Now, they guessed that the BT toxin was produced, you know, in the corn that was eaten by these women, or in the animals that ate the corn that was eaten by the women, so
right.
The meat. Now, frankly, there's another more scary concept. The only human feeding study ever published on GMOs showed that the genes inserted into soybeans, which is not a BT toxin-creating plant,
right.
But the soybean gene that was inserted transferred to the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines and continued to function, producing Roundup Ready protein. So these people had Roundup Ready gut bacteria. What if the BT gene were to transfer from corn chips and produced the BT toxin continuously inside our digestive tract? Now, BT is designed to break open the stomach of certain insects and kill them, and one of the excuses for putting it in our food supply is, oh, there's no receptor cells to bind with BT in mammals. Well, that's not true. They found it binding with different mammals in their guts, and it was in the same kind of area that, in other words, it's possible that it also causes damage in the digestive tract and the integrity of the digestive tract.
Yeah, and we've had so many problems, and this is literally a 20th century to 21st century phenomenon of everything that man could think of to put into the environment has been destroying our gut and our gut ecology. But the awareness of what you're saying now, again, which is new, it's interesting, you said Sherbrooke, that's where Gaston Nassange was, who developed this special dark field microscope that was able to see into what they call the somatid cycle. Christopher Bird, a friend of mine, when he was living, he wrote The Secret Life of Plants. You remember that? He wrote the book, The Persecution and Trial of Gaston Nassange, about this man. And here you are, they're discovering it in Sherbrooke, of all places. I'm thinking there's a synchronicity here. When I look at the introduction of these new genes into our own microflora, you know, I've got to change my lecture now. I've got to actually expand on how I'm going to address this, and it's got my wheels turning as well. Have you been interacting with any physicians on this level, too?
Yeah, I talk to physicians groups all the time, and when I mention the transfer to the gut organisms, they respond inevitably. We've seen a lot of gastrointestinal problems in our practice since 1996 when GMOs were introduced. Maybe it's that. Some of the horse owners, some of the animal owners that have seen problems with GMOs suggest it also might be gut bacteria colonization. And in fact, GMOs can hurt gut bacteria in a number of ways. There's more Roundup herbicide in Roundup Ready crops. So here's the story about Roundup Ready. Scientists found bacteria surviving in a chemical waste dump near Monsanto's factory in the presence of Roundup, which normally kills bacteria. So they figured, great, let's put it in the food supply.
Yeah.
So they took the gene out of the bacteria that allowed it to survive Roundup, put it into soybeans. So now you can spray the heck out of a soybean field, and you'll kill all of the other plant biodiversity, just not the Roundup Ready soy. And so we have a situation where the Roundup accumulates in the food portions of the plant. So we eat the Roundup, and we end up with eating a lot of the, I mean, eat the Roundup already, so you end up eating a lot of Roundup. Now, Roundup is antibacterial, which means it could be destroying some of the gut bacteria. Now, just an interesting fact, if the Roundup Ready gene transfers to the gut bacteria, it won't die when you consume the Roundup. So it provides a survival advantage.
Boy. Yes.
Which means, and when bacteria have a survival advantage gene, and that tends to be the gene that they pass around lives long and prospers. So we may end up with killing off, you know, large amounts of our gut bacteria because of these Roundup Ready crops, and then what survives is these aberrant colonized mutation products, and Roundup Ready protein has properties of a known allergen, dust mite allergen. So it itself might be an allergen. It failed the WHO screening test for allergenicity, and it is being produced inside us on a regular basis. But not only that, in the transgene that produces Roundup Ready proteins, there's a transgene that's put into it, it's a gene that's inserted.
Mm-hmm.
It has a promoter which turns it on, which transferred with the transgene into our gut bacteria, and it has a stop signal. Now, the stop signal is supposed to say to the cell, stop reading, the gene ends here. But someone actually tested the soybeans, and the stop signal didn't work, and it was producing RNA that was actually much longer than it was supposed to be, and it was all sorts of scrambled sections of the DNA that was producing this RNA, and it also reorganize it into four different variants, and so it means it's producing proteins that no one has predicted, no one knows what it does, and it might be producing all these unknown proteins continuously inside our digestive tract.
Yeah, and I think of the concern or consideration, there's already enough cancer as well. We talk about genes that don't have a kill switch or an off switch or something. You talk about the lack of now apoptosis in cancer. You know, reason we have cancer cells, all of us do at any point, but in a healthy body, it's not even pesky as a fly. It's done.
And let's pick it up from there, because the promoter, which turns on the gene, you see, that's like an on switch. You put the on switch in with the gene. That can turn on other genes downstream inadvertently, permanently, so it doesn't get shut off. So when they were doing human gene therapy, they accidentally switched on an oncogene, which created leukemia in these kids. And when you insert, when we transfer the promoter, which was confirmed transferred in these 3 of 7 human subjects, it might turn on a gene in the gut bacteria that's normally switched off that could produce a, you know, promoted cancer or allergen or toxin. And this whole problem of accidentally turning on genes, it's not just from the promoter. The very process of creating a genetically modified crop causes massive collateral damage, so that the corn, the most popular BT corn, has a gene which is normally switched off, which was switched on, that produces a known allergen that was never in corn before.
Yeah.
So the allergen, there's now an allergen in the Monsanto corn variety that was never in natural corn.
Well, and corn was already pro-inflammatory enough without that. We've got a lot of work to do here. We're going to see if we can get off the island of Dr. Moreau when we get back from this break. Right here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, special edition on this Monday with Jeffrey Smith. We'll talk about all the links, what you should know, and if you haven't gotten Jeffrey's books or seen the videos, we'll also tell you where you can do that after the break. Coming right back.
If you're looking for FDA-approved radio, you're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355.
That's 866-939-BELL. Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
In the health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Here we are coming back at you with Jeffrey Smith, and we are covering the topic of GMOs here today on Advanced Medicine Monday. Dr. Bitar will be joining me a little later in the show. And Jeffrey, you know, one of the promises of genetic modifications, although not those that could see through it from the beginning, was that, oh, if we do this, it will actually help the environment because then we'll be able to use less pesticide, less Roundup. And it didn't seem to work out that way.
No, not at all. In fact, in the first 13 years of the use of GMOs, we've increased the use of herbicides by 10%. That's 383 million pounds. But because of all of these smart weeds that are now not dying from small doses of Roundup, they're pouring the Roundup on. And in the last year of the study, it was a 31% increase. So it's huge increase in Roundup. Now, Roundup, the active ingredient glyphosate, was originally patented as a broad-spectrum chelator, which means it binds with nutrients and does not make them available to the plants.
Right.
The way it kills the plant, it kills the plants by weakening their defenses against disease and then promoting diseases in the soil. But it tends to bind with these nutrients for a long time, so it pulls these nutrients completely out of the food supply for months or years, and then it also promotes diseases that can then spread throughout our entire agriculture. So there's actually about more than 40 plant diseases on the rise because of the use of Roundup. And our livestock, the primary food that they eat is Roundup-ready crops, so they're having nutrient deficiencies. We eat the animals that are nutrient deficient. We eat the plants that are nutrient deficient. And we have higher concentrations of the Roundup in the food itself. So it's a perfect storm of problems.
It's a recipe for genetically modified genocide, quite honestly.
And there's one other interesting point. I know Dr. Huber wrote a letter to the Secretary of Agriculture about a new organism that was discovered, completely new to science, about the size of a virus, but it looks like a fungus. And it's in high concentrations in crops that are sprayed or used with Roundup, including Roundup Ready crops, lower concentrations in the others. And this little organism appears to be associated with both plant disease and animal disease. It's found in the aborted fetal tissue of fetuses that have been aborted, and it was applied to laboratory animals, which then led to abortions. So it appears to be a causative agent in abortions in mammals, maybe humans, and possibly a causative agent in plant disease, which makes it extremely rare. And this was sent in a private letter to the Secretary of Agriculture by Don Huber, asking the Secretary not to approve Roundup Ready alfalfa until the research had been finished, because otherwise we'd just be adding fuel to the fire. Well, the letter was ignored and then posted on the internet by someone we don't know, leaked, and so now it's public.
Well, this is indicative of a pro-abortion stance from the federal government. For those that think that anybody in there is pro-life, if you're standing in for GMOs, there's no way you can stand on that basis or that statement. And, I look at this and I mention the word genocide. I've been teaching and talking about the law of the terrain for many years, Antoine Béchamp, Claude Bernard, as opposed to the germ theory. It's clear that these people that develop these things are no dummies, right? They have now utilized the law of the terrain to purposefully destroy life. You know, before you could say, if you could excuse them, which I couldn't, is that they had a viewpoint that the world is about the germ theory. Here's how we kill the germs. We poison. Right? That's the way it was. But what you're telling me now is they are very aware of that nutrient deficiencies, absolutely weaken the plant so that they're susceptible to disease and so that the weeds die off that they want, which is even more criminal in my mind. I mean, it was bad enough, but what you're revealing to me is that it's so sinister. And, of course, the end result is a reduction of population, and those that still are alive are enslaved, of course, to this paradigm where they're now going to run to doctors for treatments for which, you know, basically were caused by that same or similar profession.
You know, it's interesting with Roundup Ready crops that are fed to laboratory animals. We've seen testicles change from pink to blue, changes in the young sperm cells, uterus, ovaries, changes in the way the DNA functions in the embryo, smaller babies, sterile babies, babies with hair growing in their mouths, and a fivefold increase in infant mortality. Huge reproductive problems. One of the areas that have been identified by the American Academy of Environmental Medicine as caused by GMOs and why we should avoid GMOs in our diet.
Well, we get into the what can we do about it. Of course, the alarm has been ringing for a while, and you've been ringing it as well as anybody on the planet, thank God. We've got some websites, obviously, to review. We've got some books we need to talk about. Maybe there's some activists that don't know they're activists yet, and they need to know how to be active here. This is the kind of
thing we need to help them. Happy to help them.
Because I know they're ready. They're hearing it going, let me at them.
Okay, so responsibletechnology.org, that's the hub. You'll get a lot of materials on there. You get audios, videos, articles. You can order books, etc. And when you're there, sign up for the free electronic newsletter called Spilling the Beans, and sign up for the Tipping Point Network. Now, the Tipping Point Network is a network of people that want to be active in activism, outreach, education. They can be in their local groups. We have over 100 groups established around the country, as well as national groups, each focused on a different targeted demographic. So everyone doing outreach to healthcare professionals or youth or campuses or parents or health-conscious shoppers or restaurants or religious groups can form national groups so that they can learn and help with each other. Now, the Tipping Point is named as such because it only will take a small percentage of shoppers avoiding GM ingredients to demonstrate a drop in market share, to demonstrate a trend. And these are the same companies like Kraft that have already removed GMOs from their European and Japanese brands because they had a tipping point over there. In fact, when the tipping point was achieved in Europe in April of 1999, virtually every major food company committed to stop using GM ingredients within a single week. So they're very aware of what can happen with consumer concern, and it's starting. Supermarket News predicted a higher concern level starting in 2010. As I mentioned earlier, we saw it.
Yes.
We saw that the third fastest overall product labeling claim, fastest growing claim in the United States this year is GMO-free, which means that the food companies are already responding. Thousands have been enrolled in the non-GMO project. So we just need, I think, about 5%. 5% of U.S. shoppers would avoiding GMOs would significantly drop the market share and show a trend so that the major food companies would bail on GMOs, which give no consumer benefit.
Yeah.
And so 5% should be easy. That's 15 million. We already have 47% of Americans that believe that GMOs may pose health risks, 53% of Americans that say they would avoid GMOs if labeled, and if 9 out of 10 were lying, we still have our 5%.
Yeah.
95% want GMOs labeled. So we have the non-GMO shopping guide at nongmoshoppingguide.com.
Yep.
And people can download their iPhone application for free at Shop No GMO. They can get a pocket guide. There's a lot of ways to avoid GMOs now. Just go to nongmoshoppingguide.com. So people can learn why to avoid GMOs and how to avoid GMOs and the fact that a tipping point can get rid of GMOs. And that's the three pillars of our message.
You talked about percentages of people that it would take. It wouldn't take a lot. And, of course, the percentages of people that are aware of this and are outraged by it are growing. What's the percentage of people that want to round up these bureaucrats and these people in Monsanto and force-feed them their own food?
Well, I remember Sue Kedgley, a member of Parliament of New Zealand, testified that she thought that the people who make the GMOs would be happy to submit themselves and their families to these tests. But it turns out they're not so happy. In fact, I talked to a scientist at Monsanto who said that his colleagues were doing safety studies on Monsanto's bovine growth hormone, found so much of the IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, in the milk, which is linked to cancer. These three Monsanto scientists refused to drink milk thereafter unless it was organic. One bought his own cow. So even at the same company that produces it, they won't take it because they know the truth.
Well, yeah, we're talking about the old RBGH, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, banned in certain countries, certainly.
Most countries, yeah. Canada, Europe, Japan, New Zealand, Australia, and now banned in Walmart and Starbucks and Danone and Yoplait because we're seeing a tipping point there. Mm. You see, it's linked to cancer, the RBGH.
Right.
The IGF-1 that's in the milk is linked to cancer. Now, we can't say that drinking the milk will increase the risk of cancer. We can say this. Premenopausal women with high levels of IGF-1 are 7 times more likely to have breast cancer. Men with high levels, 4 times more likely for prostate cancer.
Right.
It's linked to colon cancer. It's people who drink milk, which contain IGF-1 anyway, have higher levels of IGF-1 in their system. The milk from cows treated with bovine growth hormone have much higher levels. You can connect the dots.
Now, in terms of the activity out there, those that are supporting now and coming on, the activists, if we will, it's been interesting, the manipulation of the population here in America. We've been very susceptible to suggestion and other things, and we've been divided often in an artificial left-right construct. Right. Well, the left, they're the hippies. The right, they're the business people. But in many ways, this is becoming very, the waters are so-called muddy. What are you seeing as far as those that have been strongly idealistic on the left or the right as far as response? Have they seen past the paradigm? Are they able to see that they're against all of us? I mean, these people, what, you know?
I've seen it on both sides. I just got 7 letters from libertarians, including some former candidates, libertarian candidates, who were strongly against GMOs, some calling for a ban, which is not a libertarian concept, but
yeah.
They realize there's too much of a takeover of the airwaves in terms of disinformation. The stuff is obviously dangerous, and this is an appropriate exercising of power. Of course, the liberal progressives are likewise against GMOs, so it is really a broad-spectrum piece. In fact, we have speaker training on GMOs. In fact, the speaker training is starting this Tuesday night.
Mm.
You can sign up on our website. It's a webinar, 4-part series, and we get people who are all across the political spectrum, and we get professionals in all sorts of areas. We get doctors and lawyers and scientists, etc.
Yes.
And there's no real characterization except they have sort of, it's dawned on them what's really going on, and they want to be part of the solution.
Yeah, part of that tipping point, the waking point. And if you're saying that you've been around and heard people speak about the things you've been talking and writing about, and you're saying they're speaking better than you, then obviously somebody's getting trained somewhere.
Well, when I started seeing how many people were interested in whatnot, I realized, well, let's just have a speaker training. We'll charge some money so we'll get the people who are really serious, and maybe we'll limit it to 25. Well, we got 112 people signed up.
Yeah.
The next time we got 150. And now we've trained about 475 people so far. Now I'm going around giving one-day workshops around the country. We've got some more going in California and New York at the end of the year. I've done about 7 so far.
Yeah.
So we are really creating a non-GMO army. And people think, well, you know, you got to talk to the people who are resistant. You got to talk to the people who are junk food eating. No, you just have to arm the choir. If we're looking for only 5%, 15 million, there's already 28 million Americans that buy organic on a regular basis. We just need to convince them to be more vigilant to avoid the GMOs.
Yeah.
So when I give a lecture, I say to the group, raise yourself from 1 to 100, how vigilant you've been avoiding GMOs, how many people are 1 to 20, 20 to 40, etc.
Yes.
After 15 minutes or 20 minutes showing the slides of the changed testicles, the smaller animals, the gnarled liver cells, the thousands of sick, sterile, and dead livestock, the dead livestock in India that are grazing on the GM cotton plants, the rashes on the people's bodies in India that are picking the cotton, and all the information about the immune system responses and all that in the animals that are eating in laboratories, I say now rate yourself from 1 to 100 how vigilant you'll be next week.
Mm.
How many people are 1 to 20 low vigilance when it was just like half the room?
Right.
No one raises their hand.
Yeah.
By the end of that lecture, we have most people changing their diet on the spot. And
that's
so
right.
we have tested the power of our materials to prove that it does the trick. And it's just a numbers game now to get our materials out to enough people.
It's a rapid transformation that is occurring. We're in the midst of it. And Jeffrey Smith, you're in the center of it. You must have a superhero for a wife to keep you going the way you're going.
I do, and she's sitting right here, and she supports me. She designed these beautiful PowerPoints
absolutely
on our site.
Lovely.
You can download on our site. In fact, When people see the PowerPoints, it's fully scripted. They say, man, did you have a professional do this? Well, no, my wife learned how to do PowerPoint in order
to
do it.
It's even better than a professional. Jeffrey Smith, bless you, sir. Anytime you have an open door policy, you know, here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we can do some more follow-up. We've got to take a break here. It's Advanced Medicine Monday on the Robert Scott Bell Show. We're going to do some medical rewind with Dr. Bitar next. But Jeffrey's on board with this in regards to the message here at the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, it's just this, that the power to heal is yours. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole when you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just got out of here.
Robert Scott Bell.
Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Advanced Medicine Monday on the air, the Medical Rewind with Dr. Rashid Bitar, and it comes so quickly and it goes so quickly, so cherish and relish every moment together that we have. Dr. Bitar, welcome back.
Hey, Robert, thanks for having me again. It's always great to be back.
Well, we've got some interesting stories to cover this week, and in fact, we also have a caller we're going to hear from regarding some of the questions of the things we've been covering for the weeks we've been doing this together. But philosophically, if we start there with medicine and doctors, there's an article last week that just came out on Natural News, and it just relates to the British system with the medical doctors there. The government is now recruiting doctors to become thought police, pinpointing potential terrorists among their patients. Why is it that governments have utilized doctors in ways that seemingly are well outside of the training, nor would we want to, whether it be the horrors of Nazi medicine or whether it be now suddenly you're the police of terrorism? It makes no sense to me.
Well, I'll tell you, it's as disturbing as it sounds. It's probably one of those things that the more intelligent an individual, and if there's no independent thought process or no encouragement of independent thought process within that subgroup,
yeah,
then you end up getting a situation where people can be manipulated by those that are supposedly in the highest category of intelligence, but they're having no independent thought process. So now the government can control and motivate those people to do whatever in the line of duty, so to say.
You know, it's fascinating to consider that because, as we say, we don't want to park our own intelligence at the door or independent thought or the ability to think clearly. But so often, you know, here in the West, patients have been kind of programmed in the way doctors have been programmed in their own way. You just go in and say, okay, whatever the doctor says, that's good, that's fine. But, you know, even you as a physician, you're not going to go see another physician and go, whatever you say is fine, and park your own independent thought out the door.
Well, it's one of those things that's almost bred into the educational process. You know, you form this high elite type of a fraternity, and you indoctrinate the individual into thinking along those lines, and that everything that you're doing, other people aren't going to understand because you're the best, you're the highest educated, you're the whatever. I mean, we saw this actually in the military. You know, you take the elite forces, and they're programmed this way. I mean, I remember, you know, us taking off having to take off our dog tags and our U.S. flags off our uniform during certain, you know, at certain times when you weren't in an area that U.S. forces were. It wasn't smart to have U.S. forces acknowledged to be in those areas. So, you know, you had to take identification off. And you're bred to and manipulated to think that you're an elite component. So it's okay to do this because we're doing something that nobody else is supposed to know. But then afterwards, like 5, 10, 20 years later, I'm thinking back that if that was the right thing, and many of my colleagues, many of my friends that were with me, it's kind of like, wait a second. If we had to take off our identification of who we were and what country we represented, you know, why did we have to do that if it was everything was right?
Yes.
You know, it's for God and country. It's that patriot. It's like the Patriot Act. You know, nobody wants to defy the Patriot Act because it's a Patriot Act. But for God's sake, you read the Patriot Act, you realize it has nothing to do with patriotism.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with the medicine, same thing with the elite forces, the military. I think it's probably the way the government manipulates, by segregating. You know, in fact, when you grab a prisoner of war, what's one of the first things you have to do? You have to divide them. You have to separate and divide them so they can't talk, and because you don't want people to be able to sit there and collaborate and start to feel a uniqueness, an individual, the individuality aspects taken away, and you start feeling this conglomeration that you have a mission, you have to do something, you have to accomplish something. And I think that's what's happening with medicine. Mm. We see this right now just in traditional medicine. It's almost like they're above and beyond. Nobody understands what they're doing, and they're trying to take care of the people that are getting sick. And this is almost like the doctors are almost like a innocent bystander that have become victims to this.
Yeah, it's interesting to consider that. But, you know, at all levels of society, all levels of intelligence, we are susceptible to being manipulated by those who understand these psychological tools or games or maybe even psychic manipulations. And it is somewhat disconcerting. It might be an understatement. As we said, we've seen the medical profession used for not so nice things, as much as we acknowledge the good that is done when it's done, of course. And now we're seeing, you know, with, as you said, the Patriot Act, or whether you're in a special forces, and now you have to take off the, you know, the, anything that identifies you as being from a country. And we question the constitutionality of many actions around the world, and like to see our troops come home and take care of our national defense, I think would be appropriate and legitimate thing to do. But, it, you know, in a collectivist ideal, the danger to collectivism is an individual will wake up and say, hey, wait, I have a thought here. What if what we're doing is not exactly right? And that can't be tolerated, not even a little bit.
Well, see, this is the thing, that at the moment when the individual's in that particular situation, there's almost like it's almost considered to be sacrilegious to even question it. You know, it's like when a superior a ranking officer gives you an order to do something, you don't question it, or you're not supposed to question it. And the mere thought of questioning the order is analogous to being a traitor or something. It's almost thought, you know, manipulated into that type of thought process. It's motivation. Blood, adrenaline's running and rushing. And, you know, it's like you played college, high school sports or something, right?
Yes.
Or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, when the blood's pumping and, you know, you're on the sidelines and it's your turn to go in there and your team's losing and you're just going in there and you're ready to kill somebody. But when you're sitting back during a non-competitive time,
we can reflect on it.
Yeah, you can reflect on it. You have the time, the luxury to sit back and kind of think, and you know, you're not riled up and it's not a big deal. And the guy from the other school is a good friend of yours or something. But when you're in the moment, it's totally different. And I think, as you said, psychological manipulation and some of these other things, these are masters. These people that are doing this, they're masters at this. And I think that when you really look back at the medical profession itself, the vast majority of doctors, I would say 95% plus, really do have an innate desire to help people. But they are also afraid that by stepping out and trying to do something that may not be approved by the peer group, they're going to be ostracized and ridiculed, and sometimes even the fear of seeing other doctors that have been demonized. So they don't want to go that route. And they must think, well, if it was true, if all this stuff was true, then we'd all be doing it. But obviously that doctor that's doing, you know, that voodoo stuff called chelation, obviously can't be a good guy, because if what he was doing was good, then we'd all be doing it.
We'd all be doing it. Well, you know, it's sensational to consider, and not in a good way, that peer pressure doesn't end at the schoolyard. I mean, at all levels of society.
I think that's just a training ground. Then you move into the real world.
Yeah, and the peer pressure only is ramped up further, tied into economics and political realities as such. And then, you know, we end up sacrificing our humanity. You know, case in point, we've talked about this, the doctors during the time of the Nazi World War II atrocities. And we've seen it in our own country where doctors have participated in experimenting on whether it be black folks or poor folks. And it happens even in the 21st century. How is it possible that we could look at humans as not humans? Of course, I think that that is necessitated. In other words, if we can dehumanize the enemy or dehumanize the patient, then we might be willing to really do some horrific things we wouldn't do on our own family members.
Well, look at what's been done to our own military. Our own military has been dehumanized. Our own military has been experimented on. You know, Gulf War syndrome, we know what caused that. I mean, that was a mass experiment. So it doesn't even have to be to dehumanize the opposition. We're doing it to our own people.
Yeah, I've mentioned that too to the people that are rah-rah, you know, the jingoistic patriotism that doesn't question. And I said, you know, we're doing more damage to our troops than the enemy is quite before they even get into the field or theater of war or harm's way by experimenting on them medically the way we are, much less that when they come back with the PTSD, what we do rather than detoxify them and help them deal with the traumas emotionally and physiologically, we literally drug them out of life itself.
Yeah. And, you know, that's where Project Daylily and some of those other books that come in. And these are people that have gone through this, you know, directly firsthand experience, the issues at MD Anderson, what occurred, and the supposed suicides of the doctors that were threatening to be whistleblowers with the experimentation that was done on the Harris County jail system with some of the prisoners in there.
Yes.
And, you know, these suicide with the entry wound in the back of the head and the exit wound in the front of the head of the doctor sitting in his office, you know.
It is so bizarre. I mean, you know, the thing is that there, again, there are people we have to acknowledge. It's not the nicest time to ever have to do it, but we must simply that there are people that have been manipulated for whatever reason into looking at life differently and not respecting the value of life, not defending life. And I guess that's the hardest thing when we talk about some of these issues, or even if we discuss the desire for certain elements around the planet, even within our own country, to establish this so-called one world government, you know, under a UN auspice. I mean, it's like people are going, how could that be? People wouldn't do that, but they would. They have. They've been trying to do that for thousands of years.
In 2003, when I testified before the North Carolina legislature, less than a minute before I was to go up there, the chief legal counsel from the North Carolina Medical Society walked up to me, and to me this was a threat, which came to fruition, but this is in 2003. He said, do yourself a favor and don't testify. And I said, don't testify? You know, with after all this, you don't want me to testify? And he looked at me square in the eye. He said, all you're going to succeed in doing is making it difficult for you to continue to practice in the state of North Carolina.
Did he think that wasn't a threat? I mean, that sounds like a threat to me.
4 years later, they started these antics.
Yeah. Well, so, and the basis of your testimony for, you know, those that are new to the Robert Scott Bell Show and the special advanced medicine segments we do every Monday, what was the basis of your testimony in that hearing?
It was actually for a law that was being passed, which ended up becoming the fastest law in the history of North Carolina from the inception to the actual passing by the House and by the Senate. The fastest law ever enacted in the state of North Carolina, and it was I believe the number was 986, and it was it's the due process for physicians and the right for patients to seek the type of care they wanted.
Well, so this group that told you, or this man that told you, hey, don't testify, it's going to be trouble for you, obviously they were opposing this?
Well, the vote in the House at that time for the bill versus against the bill, and it's like with the Patriot Act, you know, you have a bill and they add all these little things to it. Well, we had a bill that was going through that wasn't very popular, but it was actually the North Carolina Black Medical Society or North Carolina African American Medical Society. I can't remember. It was basically all the black physicians had their own organization, and they were a minority, but they were passing something through, and it wasn't very popular. And the legislature at that time, it was a 78-22%. So 78% were opposed to the bill, 22% were for the bill. We tagged the due process for physicians. We needed somebody to sponsor that for us, and they were willing to go ahead and take our bill and attach it to theirs in order to, you know, they obviously
get it to the floor for a vote. I mean, that's not always easy to do, something that is lobbied heavily against.
Right, but the thing was that also some if two organizations come together, two entities come together for, and do something like this, they obviously both think that the other's vote could help. Now, our advantage to go on with theirs was because their bill had been, you know, in the system for some time, whereas ours was brand new, and we couldn't even get, you know, it would take another year or 2 years for us to even be heard.
Right.
So that was our advantage to get attached. Their advantage was they saw merit in what we were doing. They thought that it might help facilitate it. Regardless, it was 78% to 22%. 70% of the House was against the bill. I got up there to testify, and that's why this guy told me. After I testified, they took a vote, and it was 106 to 6 in our favor, and the bill passed the House that same day or within 24 hours.
Stunning, stunning. Stand by. When we come back from this break, I want to find out what Dr. Batar said that swayed these votes more rapidly than anything else in the history of the North Carolina legislature. And this is fascinating as far as restoring health, freedom, and liberty, and the stories that are often unheralded and unheard of outside of these areas. It's time to bring it back out again. Also, we're going to take a call. Those of you who want to dial in, it's 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. You're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show, streaming through Natural News Radio. Sign up for email alerts there, as well as at robertscottbell.com. And I've got all the links to Dr. Batar. We're going to be talking more with him after this break.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. naturalnews.com. Check it out.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Welcome back. Advanced Medicine Monday continues. We're doing some medical rewind, going back in the history of Dr. Batar as a champion for health freedom, talking about a bill that occurred in North Carolina. And this was what we said in 2003. It looks like you testified. You tied some language to give due process rights to physicians who, by and large, didn't have it under the medical board, state boards of medicine around the country. You could simply be accused, and there's judge, jury, and executioner without any due process of law, and they usually use these things to attack not dangerous doctors that were doing illicit and illegal things, but doctors that were doing holistic and natural things and maybe not as much drugs as the medical boards wanted them to do. Is that correct?
Yes, that is actually correct. And in fact, in 2007, when they did come after me, they absolutely violated those due process laws that had been passed 4 years earlier. And it's amazing that, you know, you think that once you've we as an organization, the North Carolina Integrated Medical Society, thought that once we passed this law, everything was great. And then we realized that, you know, every year they were changing the law.
Wow.
And unbeknownst to us, they'd gone back and changed certain things. They weren't able to change everything. But, you know, we've got that the eternal price of freedom is constant vigilance.
Correct. Yes, yes. But I'm so very curious as to what it was in your testimony that swayed so dramatically the voters in the legislature to suddenly support the bill.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a summary of it, but basically, you know how when you're in the moment, sometimes you don't even know what you said,
but it just comes out. Yes.
Yeah, it was like, I think I was told after I came off that it was divinely inspired. In fact, the day before I was to testify, something was printed in the, actually the morning of, I'm sorry, the morning of that, of the testimony, there was something printed in the Wake County Forest newspaper, which is in Raleigh, and it was actually about a neurosurgeon who was licensed in Florida and in North Carolina, and he testified against a North Carolina doctor as an expert witness, and the North Carolina Medical Board didn't like his testimony and took his license for his testimony, and he was an expert witness for the patient.
Oh my God.
Who had a lawsuit against a doctor in North Carolina. So because of his testimony, they took his lawsuit. They took his medical license, and he sued the medical board, and the Wake County Superior Court reversed the decision of the medical board and gave this doctor back his license. That was that morning it was printed.
Wow.
I saw this paper. I'm like amazed. I turned to our legislative lobbyist, and she said, "Don't worry, I've already got it in the hands of every one of the legislative members that are going to be hearing you testify." Now, that when we got there in front of the legislature, basically I told the North Carolina legislature that the North Carolina Medical Board had violated one of the laws of the North Carolina Medical Practice Act, which was that a doctor cannot be segregated out for his practice of medicine, his philosophy, his testing, his treatment modalities. And North Carolina Medical Board absolutely denied that wasn't true. And the reason that they were coming after these particular doctors, which, by the way, our percentages were 17% of the integrative doctors were being investigated versus 0.07% or 0.05% of the regular doctors. So there was a, you know,
clear bias, not even subtle.
Exactly.
And over the years, I've had, you know, people contact me when I've talked about these stories. They said, that doesn't really happen. You're making that up. I'm thinking, gee, talk to the doctors that have been through this. This is a very real thing. These are like the witch hunts of Salem.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Occurred.
In fact, that's what at the conclusion of my first year and a half of this last battle, that's what I told the medical board. My attorney said, don't address him. And I said, I have to address him. And he begged me, pleaded me, but I got in front. It wasn't a part of the normal decorum. And I was standing there, and they kind of looked at me, and they said, do you have something to say, Dr. Bhattar? And I said, you know, when people allow a government to dictate the foods they put in their mouths or the medicines they take into their bodies, their souls will soon be in the same sorry state that those who live under tyranny. And as much as I'd like to take credit for that statement, that was said by Thomas Jefferson over 200 and some years ago.
Yes.
I said, I only promise you one thing, and that is that this witch hunt will be exposed. And boy, they did not like that. And my attorney was banging his head on the table. Like, he goes, when I walked back off, he goes, you just put the nail in your coffin. And I was like, you know what? They're trying to bury me anyway. So if I'm going to go down, I'm going to make sure I'm going to
go down swinging. Right. Exactly.
So, but basically, when the medical board said that what I had said was not true, and that was absolutely not true, that they had defied any law, that they had segregated any doctor out, and they had merits for every one of their investigations, I said that why is it the North Carolina Medical Board has approached Great Smoky's laboratory and under threat of subpoena asked for a list of all the doctors in the state of North Carolina, practicing in the state of North Carolina, that had ordered metal testing. And the medical board responded with that wasn't true. And I held up a copy of the subpoena because Great Smoky's laboratory had provided me a copy of the subpoena. Now,
wow.
That was clearly showing that the North Carolina Medical Board had segregated out a group of doctors for their philosophy and for their testing, which was a direct contradiction of the North Carolina Medical Practice Act.
A violation, yes.
So, and I referred to the North Carolina Medical Board as a rabid dog that needed to be put down. In fact, a couple of years ago, they had a quote in Charlotte Observer that they went back to my testimony and they quoted that this is the doctor that made this comment. Now, that, of course, embarrassed the medical board because I had this, right?
Yes.
And I said, why is it that they did this subpoena? I said, was it to, and you know, what I need to do is, what I need to tell you here, Robert, is that I had gone back and I had shown study after study from the New England Journal of Medicine, the American College of Cardiology, circulation, you know, over and over, showing the correlation between heavy metals and heart disease, heavy metals and cancer, heavy metals and everything. You know, the cardiomyopathies with the American Journal of Cardiology came up with a fantastic study in 1999 that showed the patients that died of idiopathic dilated cardiomyopathy, which is a condition of the heart where it dilates, kind of like a congestive heart failure, but it affects the younger patient population. And they published a study, and what they showed was that in the biopsy of the myocardium, the heart tissue, they found 22,000 times the level of mercury as found in the normal tissues of normal individuals throughout the rest of their body. So this was a very, very instrumental study. This was published 12 years ago. So I'm holding up each one of these studies, and I said, is it the reason that the North Carolina Medical Board asked for the list of these doctors under threat of subpoena was to thank them for practicing medicine 20 to 25 years before the rest of the medical population, the rest of the medical community was able to even look at this literature and do something about it? Is that why? Because they were trying to thank us? Yes. Because if that's the case, I didn't get my damn thank you letter, and I demand my thank you letter. You know, and I'm shaking this. In fact, afterwards, my wife was there, and I asked her, I said, I couldn't even – I had to slam my hand down on the podium because – I couldn't keep my hand steady. I was so angry.
Right.
And she said, no, it looked like you were just shaking the study. I said, no, I couldn't hold my
hand. That's so funny. Well, I mean, you know, whatever it was effective. And as you said, and I've been in places like that where you're literally divinely inspired. The words just come through and the presentation and the way it comes through. You couldn't have planned it or prepared in that way.
Yeah, you never even know what the questions are going to be or where it's going to go. I mean, huh?
So did you have a strong conclusion, or is that it? Slam the thing down, I'm done, and then it's like the vote happens.
Well, there was a bunch of things that happened. There was going back and forth because it was a testimony, but they had the opposing side, and they would ask questions, and you know, and it was a clear first round knockout. You know, we won, and
yeah.
Let's put it this way. The medical board had been opposing our bill, and as soon as the testimony is over, they wanted an immediate meeting. They've had seven people, and myself, and our lobbyist. They're talking to me. They had to come to a conclusion. We were negotiating back and forth of what they wanted in the bill. And I'm like, well, wait a second. They haven't even taken the vote yet. I mean, the president of the medical board at that time is concerned about whether I've got a 2.5-hour drive back. She calls me as I can't get home around midnight, to make sure I got home okay. I mean, it was a very, very bizarre type of thing.
Wow.
I was like, wait a second. For the last day and a half, you guys wouldn't even give me the time of day. And now all of a sudden, you're my best friends because they saw how my testimony was able to sway the legislature. And I think that was one of their fear points, was that if I had swayed the legislature, then if they didn't come to terms with me and
right.
and continued with our bill, we would get everything that we wanted. And they were trying to, for instance, one of the examples that one of the prosecutors for the medical board brought up to me while we were sitting in this meeting. And again, none of this was planned. This is after walking out. They're coming all over. I mean, less than a minute before my testimony, they're threatening me.
Best buddy. Hey, how can we help? Can we bring you some coffee?
Exactly. I mean, they're sitting there asking me if I want something to drink and need something to eat. Just catering to me like I was some dignitary that came from a different country or something. And that's one reason I don't trust them. I mean, I trust
them. Well, that reveals the duplicitous nature of their nature, the fact that they would do that so rapidly. That's what you said, bring up the word trust. I mean, you have to realize, as much as we like to make nice with people, if they're untrustworthy, are you asking for trouble going into agreements with them?
I would rather make a pact with the devil than with those bastards.
Well, knowing what they do, it's somewhat demonic in their advancement, and I use that word loosely, of an agenda that is intoxicating and literally harming and also killing people, as opposed to what you do and what others in the medical profession are trying to do is undo that damage, detoxify, and get healers back to healing, whether they be in the physician community or not.
To give you an idea of how demonic, if you want to use that word, Dr. Tenpenny sent me an email about 9 months ago.
Sherry Tenpenny, yes. What'd she send?
An email about, she said, Rashid, this might be of interest to you. It happened in your neck of the woods. Mother took a child to get a vaccine, be evaluated, told by the pediatrician, told them that they did not want any vaccines, that they had the religious exemption, some kind of exemption anyway.
Yeah.
The child was not supposed to get vaccinated. Mom walks to the restroom, comes back, and not only did they give the child a vaccine, they gave the child four vaccines.
Ugh.
Mom is absolutely just beside herself. She's infuriated. She files a complaint to the North Carolina Medical Board and files a complaint. I think she was considering suing. The North Carolina Medical Board came back with their response was that the doctor acted appropriately and gave the vaccination to the child, and there was nothing that was wrong. Even though they had no consent to do so, there was a failure for the parent to sign a consent form to allow them to give the vaccine, had specifically told and instructed the medical practice that the child was not to get any vaccines, had an exemption, but the medical board said the doctor didn't do anything wrong.
Well, this is why, you know, I've encouraged parents to wake up and realize that the simple act of taking your child to a state licensed physician or pediatrician is a very risky proposition.
Without a doubt.
Wow. This is stunning information. And the historical references, points, and the experiences and stories you're sharing are invaluable for others, hopefully, to see in whatever state or country that they're in. How can we stop this from occurring and recurring and recurring again? Because that's the, you know, the basis of the story that I got out of it in Natural News from last week about the government of the UK enlisting the doctors now to be the arbiters of who could be a potential terrorist is very eerily frightening and similar to previous times when doctors were used by the government for, let's say, evil activity.
Yeah, I mean, it's being done even here in the United States to a certain extent. You know, I mean, it's you could extrapolate this to, like, if somebody is injured, a doctor, like, you know, with a gunshot or something.
Sure.
A doctor must report it to the law enforcement authorities. And if you treat an individual with a gunshot wound and don't report it to the authorities, you have just committed a crime. Now, I can understand the rationale that's put out there, but for me as a physician, my fiduciary and ethical responsibility is to help that individual to save their life. Whether they're a criminal or not is not my issue. My issue is this is a person that's been injured. I must help them. But they have criminalized the act of helping an individual unless you report it.
So in other words, the medical profession has been deputized, so to speak, even if you're not compensated by them. It's sort of like, you know, asking you to testify against yourself with the criminal tax code and other things. And, you know, this so gets so far afield from what you get into the healing profession for that it becomes an abomination. And, of course, every little bit dehumanizes the doctor even further and to the point of what are you willing to do next? And that's... And I, Dr. Batar, I'm censoring myself here because there are things that I want to say I'm not even going to say today.
Self-censorship.
Yes. Self-censorship. I, that's the only censorship I can support.
Yeah. Well, you know, don't get me wrong, too, Robert. I mean, I understand the reason for the law with the doctor having to report something. And, you know, I've had – I can't tell you how many times I've had when I was at Ben Taub in my general surgery training when I was rotating through Baylor's program or when I was in some of the other high-volume trauma emergency rooms working. I can't tell you how many times I've taken care of criminals. With the law enforcement people had brought the patients in. I had to take care of them. And some of the crap that they did. I mean, I actually had one guy. This is actually, I don't know whether I should tell this story online or not, but basically showing the criminal who was really in control at that point. And because the guy was, I mean, the guy was clear. It wasn't like it had to be proven in court. You know, he and one of his friends had broken into this woman's house. She was a single parent. She comes walking down the steps and, you know, they both told her that they were going to steal everything and rape her and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they just told her this, you know, and they knew she had no place to go. And she's sitting there. She was just wearing like underwear because she'd been asleep. You know, she just comes down the steps. And these guys are laughing and telling they're going to do this, and they come running up the steps. Well, they didn't know she had a 9mm that she was holding behind her, and she opened fire on him. And, you know, first one she dropped, and the second one goes running out, jumps out of the window, and she shot him in the rear end, and cops picked him up, and they brought him into the hospital at VAMC, Brooke Army Medical Center at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas, and I was a resident there. And this guy, you know, is talking crap how after he gets out, he's going to go there and he's going to rape that, ECH, and he's going to do this and that. And he grabs one of my nurses on the rear end, and the sheriff's deputy that was there, you know, was telling the guy, you better settle down, you know, you son of a bitch. And the guy was just in care. He goes, what are you going to do? You going to hit me? So I walked up to him, and I'm leaning to do a CAT scan on him because when the bullets hit, you know, they can kind of run rampant. There's the small caliber
the fragments and things and everything. Yes.
Yeah, they hit the bone and they tumble, and so they don't go in and out like a larger caliber would. So we were just trying to make sure, because obviously nothing major had happened, but he had been shot, so we wanted to see what the bullet was. So I lean forward over him, and I tell him, you touch one of my nurses again, you are going to be sorry. And he looks up at me. He's laying back on this table getting ready to get this CAT scan.
Yeah.
He's looking up at me when I say this, and he spits in my face.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was, you know, that was pretty much the end of it. So I turned around and I asked for some sucks and succinylcholine, which is a paralyzing agent.
Yes, yes.
And I told him that I was going to pass a Foley catheter, but because I was afraid that he was going to be too violent and not be, you know, not to remain in control, I had to paralyze him to put in this Foley catheter. And this guy's looking at me, well, you know, we had him restrained at the time, and gave him the sucks, and I started explaining to him what he's feeling now, you know, and of course it paralyzed him. He couldn't breathe, and I'm explaining all this stuff, and I'm going to intubate him, and I'm going to put this tube down, and I'm talking him through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I reversed the, and I told him that, you know, unless he looked right at me in the eyes and I could tell that he was not going to, that he was going to settle down, I was going to go ahead and start the Foley catheter passing, et cetera, et cetera. And,
yeah.
And I reversed him. And of course, you know, this guy was like the most incredibly cooperative individual after that.
Right.
I mean,
from that point,
the fear got him, because I told him, I said, you know, you're going to start, you're going to stop. I mean, this is, of course, this, some people would question whether that was the right thing to do. But the point is, this is a guy that was a violent criminal that was, you know, not allowing anybody to do what they needed to do. And the funny part was, after this was all over, and the guy's now a completely complacent, you know, individual. I mean, when you tell a man you're going to pass a and you paralyze him, they can't breathe, and they start feeling tightness, etc. The sheriff's deputy goes, "Hey, Doc," he goes, "I got about 40 other people that we can do that with them."
Well, this is so fascinating. We've gone very long on this segment. We're going to take a break here with Dr. Bittar. I promised you, we're going to get to a phone call that asks a very specific question of Dr. Bittar. I think a lot of people will be interested in finding out about lead detoxification. And that's why we do this, the Advanced Medicine Monday. We never know where it goes. It's always a fascinating discussion on so many topics. And we'll be right back with more Powerful Healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Got a question for Robert? Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow-fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow-fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Bly.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
All right, we're back, and I wanted to get to the phone calls. Dr. Bitar, will you mind answering a question from one of our listeners?
Sure. Absolutely, let's do it.
All right, so this is Beth Ann, who's been a longtime listener, and we're going to run that call right now.
Hi, Robert. This is Beth Ann, longtime listener. Congratulations on your new show with Natural News. I do have a question for Dr. Bitar. I've gone through a hellish experience with high lead levels. It took me 2 years to find out what I had after all the doctors kept giving me a prescription for Xanax. And then I started listening, of course, to your show and then to Dr. Bitar and all of his seminars that he was giving out online. He's just been a lifesaver. I did find a doctor, but she's 2 hours away to do IV chelation. So she started me on a oral chelation called Chelex with DMSA and EDTA. It's taken about a year for my levels to go from an exorbitant amount of 30 down to 7 through a provoked urine test. And I was wondering if there was anything else I can do besides this, if liquid zeolite helps, or if there's anything else that can move this along since it's been so long. 90% of my symptoms are gone, but I sure would like to get rid of the rest of them. Thank you so much. You've been such a blessing, both of you.
Well, Robert, Beth Ann's question is unfortunately a very common thing that we have to deal with, and I've heard this same type of story, you know, years trying to figure out what was wrong with them, spent a hellacious amount of money, nobody came up with anything, lots of antidepressants, antipsychotics, anti-anxiolytics prescribed in order to try to facilitate these people from stopping complaining essentially because, you know, the quote, their blood work comes back normal, their workup comes back normal. So the first thing I would tell you is that when we're doing these provoked challenges, we are not measuring what's in the body. We're measuring what's actually coming out of the body. There's a huge clinical difference between the two because in a non-excretor, such as an individual with autism or an individual with cancer, or and this is just based upon observation of over the last 15 years, that certain types of pathology, the individual's genetic makeup is what facilitates them actually getting these disorders. And so one of the predispositions is these individuals have is the inability to detoxify, and so they end up becoming more toxic, and so they get the autism or the cancer, whatever the case may be, Alzheimer's, the same type of physiology. So I would suspect that Beth Ann probably had a similar type where, you know, maybe a minor version of that same inability to detoxify, what I term very globally as non-excretors. But a non-excretor will not show the metals on a provocation test. And if you do show a lot of metals on a provocation test, that's actually good because at least it's showing that it's easier to pull out.
Well, let me interrupt here because this is a place where a lot of in the medical profession aren't trained like you are or you know, holding down that so-called party line. They'll say, see, there's no metals. This is ridiculous. The test shows there's nothing in there, even though it is, but it's just not coming out via the challenge.
Well, and that's exactly the point. And I've been blessed that the patients that are coming to me, they have – that they're ready to do whatever is necessary to get better. So they continue this course of treatment, and then we're documenting as to what's happening with their testing. And you can see 6 months later, a year later, their metal levels are 5 to 7 times higher, but their symptoms are dissipating. And I actually explained this. This was the basis of my congressional testimony in front of Congressman Dan Burton and Congresswoman Diane Watson in front of the Subcommittee on Human Rights and Wellness in 2004. I actually presented a case where the case that actually helped me to figure out what I had to do to help my son, and subsequently now over 25,000 children worldwide have received our treatment, our protocol for the treatment of autism. These children don't show any metals, and it takes consistent treatment before they start showing it. And right about the time when you start seeing the elevation of mercury coming, that's about when you start seeing, within about a two-week period, you start seeing the clinical improvements where there's more verbalization, there's more communication, eye contact, et cetera, et cetera. So I've got kids where they showed no medals. Right now I've got a child from England. I've been treating for 4 years. No medals at all anywhere. It was like the weirdest thing. The first child that I'd seen with which barely had – the child had barely any kind of medal showing up. And 3.5 years later, when we were about to start the brain recovery protocol on him, which is basically involving certain intravenous therapies to help increase neurotransmitters in the brain and then also putting them under hyperbaric oxygen. But hyperbaric oxygen is 5 times the normal oxygen of ambient air. And the problem is if the person has a lot of metals, then you're going to actually increase the oxidative stress by putting them hyperbaric. So we have to make sure that there's, you know, there's no metals. But this kid had really not shown any metals. He'd had a spike up of the metals. It came back down after 3 years, had a spike up the metals. 3.5 years later, no metals showing up, or very little metals showing up. And I'm thinking everything's fine. We did one more challenge test before starting his hyperbaric brain recovery IV program. And his metals had spiked up even higher. He went from a baseline mercury when we started his treatment of less than DL, which is detectable limits, and 3 to 5 micrograms per gram creatinine is considered to be what the reference range is in the different laboratories, which in, you know, you and I know there's no safe limit in the body, but that's what they say, 3 to 5 is considered normal. He showed nothing in the beginning. He was showing 90, 94, 97 micrograms per gram creatinine mercury. His lead, which showed non-detectable limits, which normal reference range is 5 micrograms per gram creatinine, over 280 micrograms of lead per gram of creatinine. Unbelievable levels. This is almost 4 years after his treatment. So the point is that in Beth Ann's case, for instance, the metal level is coming down. And she also was – they used DMSA on her. Unfortunately, that is not – I don't want to get into the different
– Sure, but it's a good question because a lot of people will have gone through what Beth Ann has gone through.
Right. DMSA, on our autism DVD, I go into this at length and explain why DMSA is not a good chelator. In fact, DMSA by definition is not a chelator at all. It is used by the government. It's approved by the government for chelating. It's actually chemate is what it is. It's
Chemex or
lead.
Yeah.
But the problem is that DMSA is dimer captosuccinic acid. Succinic acid is the largest substrate in the citric acid cycle, in the Krebs cycle. And what happens is when you put something into the body that is too similar, the body will end up using it. A chelator, by definition, is something that the body will not it will not consume. In other words, whatever you put in must come out. The only difference is it's bound to metal. So a chelator is inert by definition. DMSA is not inert. When you put in DMSA into the body, DMSA, dimer captosuccinic acid, almost identical to succinic acid that the body uses. The only difference is 2 hydroxyl groups versus 2 sulfhydryl groups. So the body sees the DMSA as succinic acid and starts to pick it up and use it as succinic acid in the Krebs cycle and causes an inhibition of FADH2 and further on down the electron transport chain. You go follow the cascade, it inhibits adenosine triphosphate, ATP. And as you know, that's the fuel of life. So a lot of kids that are on DMSA, you'll see them being very flaccid, then you see them hyper, get very, very hyper extenuated, and then they come back down and become very flaccid again. And so DMSA is not something that I use. I stopped using that 12 years ago. I have been a very big proponent against the use of DMSA because I find it to be very dangerous. And many parents that have brought their children that have had a course of DMSA saw worsening, you know, gut function and all sorts of other nightmares.
Sure, but that also puts you at odds with a lot of even those in the so-called chelating family.
Oh, absolutely. I'm probably the most hated doctor from the conventional and the integrative group. Absolutely.
That's why we love you here, Dr. Bitar. You just do what's right no matter what. And that's so very important. That's what we stand for. And that's why the Healing Revolution on Fridays I do, the Advanced Medicine Mondays. I mean, we take on things and go places that, sometimes will cause us a lot of grief from those that we would even think would be aligned with us. But we're willing to go, as I said so many years ago, where the truth and the facts take us. And, of course, we can't overlook, as you said, the clinical experience. The bottom line in your motivation that started this all for you was to help your child that was harmed by vaccines. And, you know, at that point, you were going to do what it takes. And when you find it, you know, to your credit, you didn't just bottle it up and say, I'm not going to tell anybody. You said, oh, well, we got to help others.
Well, I can't take any credit for that, Robert. It was, like I said, it's a pact that you make with the Creator, and you don't want to break that pact. So I appreciate what you're saying, but I actually have a very difficult time taking any credit or accolade for it, because I really am not doing anything except for the only thing that I can do. So I'm kind of forced into it.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying. It's hard in human language to put it in proper terms, but I very much appreciate what you're doing. Listen, we got to take another break here. We're going to wrap up with a short segment. We've gone a little long today on the previous, but it's been such a fascinating discussion, as it always is. I don't even want to break in sometimes. So we got to break in for a quick break. Say thanks to our sponsors here. It's Advanced Medicine Monday, the Medical Rewind. Boy, have we been doing some rewinding here. We'll talk a little bit more about Dr. Bitar's book. If you haven't gotten it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. We'll tell you about it after the break.
Tired of the same boring health talk radio? Then turn up the volume and break off the knob. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the National News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Wrapping up another exciting and empowering discussion with Dr. Rashid Bitar here on Advanced Medicine Monday. And I think there was maybe a point or two more left to respond to Beth Ann's question. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of finish that off. One of the things that she said was, and she wanted to know how to get the rest of the metals out. The first thing to remember is you'll never be able to get all the metals out, because as long as you're living on this planet, you're constantly inhaling and ingesting, acquiring more toxins. This is kind of like working out. You can't just work out one time and change
the oil. Yeah, it's all done. Yeah. I worked out today. I don't have to do it for 70 more years.
Right, exactly. So the best way to making sure you're getting everything out is to make sure you're on a maintenance program. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you honestly, I don't care whether it's 2 hours or 20 hours, whatever it takes, you need to get the EDTA intravenously. There is another way that we've developed getting in through transdermally that we use for our long-distance patients, which has worked. I've got patients all the way from Australia and China and Taiwan, everywhere, all over the world that are taking this. But that you have to come into our clinic to do this. But I'm not saying that you have to do that. If you got a doctor, it's 2 hours away. Go to that doctor. It's worth the 2 hours, and get maybe for 5-10 weeks, do the IVs, because the IVs, especially with the EDTA, do not take DMSA, but with the EDTA, you will get the lead out, but you need to do the intravenous method or the transdermal method. Those are the only two that I know. Now, there's the rectal suppositories. Yeah. Unfortunately, they chelate out the minerals within the tissue the local tissue where the suppository sets. The studies have shown that that actually leaches out the mineral content of the tissue right around where the suppository sits and causes leukoplastic and dysplastic changes that are precancerous. So I would have a problem with doing anything that is localized to the tissue that sits in the tissue for that period of time. Whatever it is should be, you know, in your system and be able to get into the circulation relatively quickly and
Moving, yeah, moving and not sitting in an aggravating a local tissue area. That's very important.
Exactly. And that's, again, you know, does it cause that cancer? I don't know whether it causes cancer, but I know that the studies that have been done have shown leukoplastic and dysplastic changes in that mucosa. So that's something that you need to be aware of. The other thing that I would suggest, and there was a question about zeolite and some of these other components. I think that any of these things that don't do any harm, and from what I've seen, zeolite seems to have some effect. People have reported that. I haven't used it myself.
Yes.
But if people are saying that zeolite works and nobody's had any adverse effect, I would say, yes, use it. But again, you need something, you need a high gun. I think maybe the zeolite in conjunction with some of these other things, but don't underestimate the power of the intravenous methodology or the transdermal methodology. You need to get it through into the system, and 2 hours is not that far for you to regain your health. So
yeah,
I would
some
really
people are 44 hours away from places, so yeah. 2 hours is actually reasonable in the big scheme of things, but I understand. Beth Ann, we appreciate your call and question and your appreciation of what we're trying to do here and what we are doing here as well. And also, you know, to add in, we've talked selenium. I know Beth Ann from longtime listener. She'd be taking her selenium every day as well. So she's doing a lot of good things.
Good.
It's just tweaking a few things and staying consistent with a few others, as well as, you know, we talk homeopathy, the ability of utilizing the energetic signatures of these metals as well to mobilize the metabolism to address it. All of these things work in conjunction and make everything that you're already doing work better. So there's not either a zero-sum game or a negative impact. All we're talking about is a synergistic benefit.
That's right. It's an accumulation, and the amount of accumulation, the rate of accumulation, and what form of that accumulate is taking place. So I don't use oral homeopathics, but I do use some of the intravenous ones that we use to prep the body with, and it's really made a difference. So anything that you can do to help facilitate it, but just do me a favor and don't use the DMSA. You will be glad that you didn't, because people end up getting into problems later on from the DMSA, especially with their gut function and some of these other
sure.
things.
Well, it's an important distinction, and also the fact that the body is absorbing it as far as not excreting it fully because of the similarity, a very important thing to understand. You know, and that's so much of what is also often lacking when they can go part way there with the science and then neglect the full-on way and say, wait, we don't need that happening. And that's to your credit, Dr. Pitar, again, where I say this. It's all there, you know, in 9 steps to keep the doctor away. I'm talking about the principles of bringing the power to heal back to the people by revealing these things, these insights, these simple steps you can do. And we acknowledge, you know, as a physician in your own right, as a doctor in homeopathy, you know, as we talk about this, that doctors can be very dangerous. We want to keep you away from doctors as much as possible.
Well, I think that the best thing to remember is that the word physician, actually, if I remember correctly, the foundation of that word, the Greek origin of the word, means teacher.
Yep, teacher, healer, that's right.
Right. So, you know, and unfortunately in our current state of medicine, we don't teach anything. In fact, doctors, people will tell them the complaints, the doctor will be very quiet and just write things down and prescribe a medicine. There's no teaching going on. And so I would say it's that I would not be against doctors. I would be more about go to a doctor that's going to help you understand what's going on and how you can do what you can do to prevent it from happening. So,
well, that honors the origin of the word that they have been described with, you know,
exactly.
If they don't understand that, you might consider, well, maybe I'll go to a different one.
Well, that's one reason that I named my book, you know, in the 9 steps to keep the doctor away, because a traditional doctor, you know, you don't want, or even the integrative doctor, whoever wants to give you an herb or a vitamin to cover up a symptom or a drug, it's the same problem. The only difference is maybe it's not going to be as bad as covering up with a drug, but,
yes.
You know, when you're using a vitamin or a herb to cover up a symptom, it's the same problem. You haven't addressed the cause of the problem. I don't care about getting rid of the symptom. The symptom is a meter that's telling me if I'm going to be successful in alleviating the actual problem. So as I get rid of the problem, if the symptom starts to dissipate and deteriorate and disappear, then I know that I've been able to get rid of the cause of the issue in the first place, which is what we want.
Yes.
But by covering up the symptom, whether it's with a drug or with a vitamin or a natural substance, it's just as bad in my opinion.
Yeah, well, and that's why we have links to the facts on toxicity. And as Beth Ann has been watching the videos and appreciating them very much, Dr. Pitar, many others who haven't yet done so, we've got the links up at robertscottbell.com and through the daily news updates at naturalnewsradio.com. What can I say? It's fascinating. And your candor is very refreshing, too. Your ability to share with us these experiences sort of behind the scenes of interaction with patients, because it gives insight to people that, you know, often not privy to what goes on in that realm. So we want them to know what can and could happen so that they can walk through these things with their eyes open.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Robert. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Well, we're going to do a lot more healing in the coming Advanced Medicine Mondays. Medical Rewind, fascinating as well today. Just remind you as we end, as we do every day, that it's the thing that Dr. Bitar has written about in his book, 9 Steps to Keep the Doctor Away. The power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.